Okay, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Greetings, everyone. Thank you for your fellowship. Praise God. It's always a pleasure and a great blessing to fellowship with you around God's holy word. I trust we've come, praise God, with open hearts, ready to receive this wonderful manna, this feast that God has for us. Praise God. I trust you're well in the Lord, overcoming, praise God, and counting it all joy if you're going through trials, and if not, then you're just thanking the Lord for a time of peace and great blessing. Hallelujah. We're continuing with the Lord raising up apostolic ministry, and we got to the fact that he's foundational. And I want to look in particular some of the things that how God lays that foundation, how he works with our faith. Whatever the ministry of the word, whoever is teaching, preaching, he fulfills his calling when he quickens faith in the hearts of the hearers. When the seed of God's word has been planted in the furrows of men's hearts and it begins to produce fruit, when it begins to produce faith, the parable of the sower, that man has fulfilled his calling. If faith is being quickened in the hearts of the disciples as they hear God's word, if as a result of hearing that word that it's not only faith, but they have a greater desire for God and his word, a greater love one for another and for his word, then that person is fulfilling his calling. Praise God. So let's continue with that. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll look at verses 9 and 10. We're looking at how the apostolic ministry lays a foundation. Now, if he's to lay a foundation, then that has to be happening in his life as well. So 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 9 and 10. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So let's have a look at that, but also in Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. Same message, different way of saying it. We'll put the two together. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. Well, let's start with verse 10, because that's a good context, isn't it? Making request if, in his prayers, making request if, by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. So you see there the heart of this man. He wanted a personal, not just to write to them, but he wanted that personal contact, that personal fellowship, that the Lord, through him, would establish them in the faith, through him would impart a gift to them, some gift, and perfect what is lacking in their faith. Now, is there anything lacking in our faith at this present moment? Are there things that we've not yet experienced? Are there things where we feel we're not yet complete in the faith or in our experience? Are there things that we just don't see? Are there areas where we don't feel that established in the faith? God will perfect us in the faith. When the apostles' ministry begins to fully function, areas that have been such a struggle to cope with, God will bring about a perfection of faith. Now, he's doing it through the word as it is now, restoring. He does it through trials, but we don't always understand those trials. We don't always get it right. There are things we don't always understand. God is raising up the full functioning fivefold ministry so that we come to a completion of faith. We all walk in the Spirit by faith. those areas that we seem to struggle so much in, I'm not going to say they'll ever become easy, but the grace will be there, the understanding, that unction, that anointing, God's presence will be there. Now, through this, the apostles' ministry is to take the body of Christ deeper into baptismal experiences, into experiences with the Lord, and in faith. And the way he does that is through the Word, obviously, that anointed teaching, through miracles, yeah, you heard me right, through the gifts, through miracles, and through suffering on behalf of the body of Christ. And we'll look at some scriptures for all of these things. Okay, through faith. How does he perfect faith? Well, through the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, but that Word is given by revelation. That Word is given by revelation. So we're looking at faith being increased through the Word, through miracles, and through trials, both our trials and the trials that the Apostle suffers on our behalf. Let's turn first then to Proverbs 4 and verse 18. We're looking at how revelation, the ministry of the Word, that anointed Word, especially as it is revealed to us, increases our faith. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun, the sun at noonday. It shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. The path of the just, that's you and I, is like the shining sun. Shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. So it dawns and it gets brighter and brighter. And that is our walk. Let's compare that with 2 Peter. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the word that we hold in our hands, at one point, it's written down, but at one point that was direct revelation. It hadn't been heard until they spoke. The Spirit gave them those words. That was revelation. It hadn't been heard until it was spoken by them, and that has been written down. And now the Holy Spirit has to illumine that to our minds. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, and to see, we need light. We need our eyes opened. God is life, light, and love. We partake of his life, we're born again, we have the new birth. He dwells within us. And he's now giving us light. And as that light increases, so does our faith, so does our love. Now these things happened instantaneously at the new birth. We were born again, we partook of his life, we were enlightened, and we learnt to love. Those things take place straight away, but in seed form. They have yet to grow as a mature fruit, but they are truly present. If not complete, they are at least genuinely present. That's the first thing we look for, is to see if there's been any real change. So yes, there has, praise God. And these things increase. And by the time God is finished with us, we are going to love as he loves. We're going to see, according to the context in which we're believing, we're going to see as he sees, we're going to believe as he believes. Our faith is a response to revelation. So it's the evidence of things not seen. And we haven't yet seen, yet, but God is going to reveal all the things that pertain to us, all the things that belong to us, all the things that God has laid aside, laid up for us who love him. God is expanding our heart. He's working with our faith to receive, to see, to receive, to believe, to embrace and appropriate all that he has provided for us. And so our faith is going to increase. Yes, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, but that light has to shine in our hearts for faith to be there. You can't believe for something that you haven't seen by revelation. How do you know what it is that God has prepared for you? How do we know what there is? Well, God has shown us. God has opened our eyes. And that's what we believe. We believe in the thing that God has shown us, even though it's not yet manifested to our sight. And there's an increasing revelation. There's an opening, an ever-opening of the eyes, of the understanding. God is revealing truth to us. He's illumining our minds to receive it. It's when the light goes on in our spirit that faith is there. We can labour in the word, we can meditate, we can pray, but it's when that light goes on in our spirit that we say, yes, I see. And that is faith, when we see it in the spirit. And then that then grows, that seed is then planted, the revelation of God's will has been established, and as we act on that, then faith comes, faith grows, the fruit of it. And how do we know that it was faith? Because at some point there will be the manifestation. Now, some of us have grown a bit cold, some of us are beginning to grope around in darkness. We've lost sight of the expectation that at some point the things we're believing for will manifest. It's very easy, very easy. In the desert, in the wilderness, it's dry, it's barren, we're going through trials, the cross. Dear friends, our faith is the resurrection. We believe because Jesus is risen. We are filled with his spirit because he is alive. He's risen, he's at the Father's right hand. And he is preparing us, opening our eyes, working through these things in us to simply believe. John 6, isn't it? Verse 30 something, let's have a look. John 6. Dear friends, John chapter 6. Praise God. John chapter 6 and verse, look at, start with verse 28. John 6 and verse 28, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? See, they couldn't understand eating the bread, believing, receiving the bread of heaven, partaking of God's gracious gift. They felt that in order to be saved, they had to work. So Jesus had to really help them out here. And he answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. And there it is, friends. It is the work of God that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that basis, everything else comes to us. Eternal life, the promises, the blessing, relationship, all that we've been hearing for the last however many years, 20, 30, 40 years, it comes to us simply on the basis of believing, and that faith is a response to revelation. As God increases the light, our capacity to walk in the light, he won't give light that we're not able to walk in. So with that revelation, with that increased light, we're seeing more, comes greater responsibility, but God will have prepared us. He will have enlarged our heart and enabled us to walk in that light, to receive it, and with that will come the faith. And the apostle, prophet, the five ministries that God is restoring are vessels of that revelation, and therefore vessels of that faith. Praise God. All the things that at the moment are such a struggle, we're not complete in faith yet, and it's easy to get condemned or frustrated, but we're waiting on God for more revelation. Now, as we consecrate our lives, and we're going to be saying more about where you and I, all of us, come into this, because when a door's going to open, why aren't I being used, etc., etc. When we get to the bit, you know, of body ministry, we'll see that it's as you and I consecrate our lives before God in prayer that we begin to receive power with God. But all that in its proper place, its proper order. God is lightening our hearts, enlightening our understanding, our spirit, in order that we simply believe we see him as he is. We don't complicate things with legalism, with intellectualism, with pride, with self. It's a simple, childlike faith. It's clear. We see him as he is. That's faith, and on that basis, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Praise God. It's just that simple faith. But it's going to take the full revelation to produce that faith. Because each ministry has an anointing that presents the word in such a way that it quickens faith. It removes doubt. It removes fear. It exposes. It cleanses. It's the washing of the water by the word. And that word in our heart will be tried. But the grace is there to overcome in that trial. God cleanses. God delivers. Praise God. And it's a full gospel. Now I mentioned secondly that there are gifts and miracles. What is the relationship within the body of Christ? We know the evangelist ministry, the full gospel, those gifts, those miracles, to convince the unbeliever. Signs follow believers, unbelievers follow signs. But believers see signs, they understand the significance of a sign. They understand its meaning. Every sign has a message, and a believer will get the message of that sign. The sign points to Jesus, it points to something, it's significant, and believers will understand that. They won't just want a miracle to get their bellies filled, but they will understand the spiritual significance of what's just happened. But I've just said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So to what extent will a miracle, will a gift help the body of Christ, those who are already believing? How will it feed our faith? How will it encourage? Because the apostle is saying, through the gifts, through the ministry, I want to encourage your faith. I want to perfect, I want to complete what is lacking in your faith. Well, first of all, everything that the Holy Spirit does, that includes the miracles, everything he does is designed to quicken the faith of the believer. Nothing he does will ever take away from faith. Now, a miracle would inspire. And what it does, it removes the moral ground of any fear or doubt. The word ought to do that. The anointed word will be doing that in a sensitive conscience. But God knows man's heart. There is a depth of fear, of pride, of doubt, of unbelief. And a miracle at the right time, a manifestation, when you see a miracle take place, a sign, a manifestation takes place, ethically, morally, you can no longer doubt God's love or his power, his willingness to heal, to provide, to raise up in some way. And when I see a miracle, that tells me I have got to do something about whatever it is in me that is resisting God at this point. When you look at the lives of the apostles, take Peter for example. He sat under supernatural ministry from the Lord. Do you remember when he didn't really want to pay the temple tax, the custom, the tribute? And he answered the person roughly. Jesus took him to one side and he said, okay, the sons are free, the children are free. But in order not to offend them, go to the shore and the first fish that you take up, there will be a coin in its mouth. Take that for you and me and pay the temple tax. Supernatural provision. That would have made a profound effect on Peter. That would have taught him that God provides. That would have shown him God's provision. The feeding of the 5,000. They were thinking carnally. We've got 200 pennies in the purse, in the bag that we have. We've got all this multitude before us. The world's economy, money is a means of exchange. We'll exchange what we have for a few loaves of bread. But it isn't going to be enough. God's economy, God was teaching them, listen, I don't want you to be bound by the world's way of doing things, by the world's economy. This is the economy of the kingdom of God. He took what was given to him, raised it up to heaven, blessed, he gave thanks, and continued. You can just see the scene, can't you? Just piece after piece, coming off the bread, coming off the fish, piece after piece, until 5,000 men, besides women and children, were not only fed, but they had 12 baskets. And you remember when they then went into the boat to cross the sea, and he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and they still hadn't got it. They said, oh, we forgot to take bread. He's talking about leaven because we forgot bread. And the Lord, in his grace and his mercy, how is it you still do not understand? How is it you still do not believe? When I broke those loaves, how many were there? You know, he reminded them of the miracle, his provision. He was getting to their faith by them seeing firsthand God's supernatural provision. The supernatural provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, the supernatural provision. How things are done in God's kingdom. How God's economy operates. Not only in heaven, but through his appointed vessels on this planet. And we've got to, these workings, these miracles are working in us. Now, at the moment, we have a limited experience in these things. Some have more than others. But God is restoring, God is preparing us to receive. Because if you turn to Acts chapter 10, this is not a contradiction to faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word. But the disciples were prepared for the supernatural ministry. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Look at that authority. He was there. He knew he was a witness chosen before by God. He saw the miracles. He saw the crucifixion. He saw him after the resurrection. And he was directly and divinely appointed to preach and to do the things that he's now doing. Friends, when that anointing, when those gifts, when those miracles, when that is working in our assembly and in our midst, that anointing is going to touch our lives. It's within the body. It's part of the body. It will affect us. No, we won't be surprised. Oh, miracle, I'm going mad for it. We expect these things. It's part of God's provision. The gifts on, you know, God wouldn't give anything that's irrelevant. The gifts, the miracles, all the working, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are there to fulfill a redemptive purpose. And while, yes, we are being trained in the Word, and faith comes by the word, and we're not looking to, you know, partial manifestations to decide whether or not we're healed. But dear friends, to fulfill a ministry, to fulfill a ministry, God gives gifts, and those anointings, those spiritual manifestations must manifest if we're to have a complete ministry. Now, we're being brought into that. We're being prepared for that. Let's have a look at further scriptural evidence to this. You see, it's a question of all at its right time, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And isn't it strange that in today's Christendom, in today's experience, we have gifted men drawing attention to themselves through those gifts? This is why it's gone wrong. And yet we have Paul here saying, because of what was working through him, their faith was in the power of God, not in men. How has it become reversed? Because they're not teaching the cross, they're not teaching the word, it's the gifts. Oh, look at me with my gifts and my power. But Paul, along with the gifts, along with those miracles, also presented the cross. He also presented the message, the revelation. The apostles will bring to bear upon the experience of the disciple all the theology, all the revelation that comes through them. It's not just theology, but that anointing will bring to bear the experience that goes with that. And the grace, the anointing, to be able to walk in that. It must work together. Romans 15. Now let's start with verse 17. Romans 15, verses 17 and following. Therefore I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. What a glorious ministry. Yes, that was to unbelievers, that was to the unregenerate. But listen, there has to be an effect. Those gifts, those signs, that demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, it works upon us. It is an anointing that will affect our outlook, our consecration, our understanding. We will realize that this is the God that we're dealing with. You see, for example, seeing my sister get up out of her wheelchair and walk and glorify God and leap about with her arms in the air, praise God, and continue to live a healed and a healthy, productive life, praise God. What a wonderful experience. But if I see that on one day, and then the next day I'm going through a trial, seeing that in itself isn't going to give me the faith. The faith in my heart is God's word, God's promise. My faith comes from the Lord himself. So we've got to keep that right balance. But seeing that miracle, aren't I going to say, Lord, I've seen you do that for her. I know what you can do. I'm part of that. That happened in my body, in my assembly. That's happened in my experience. It's just going to quicken. It's just going to encourage. It's his power that enables me to continue to believe. It will inspire me to get into the word, to get the word into my heart, to know that at the right time, God will manifest. Because when it keeps failing, if it keeps going wrong, if it keeps not happening, what's that going to do to us? Let's have a look in Galatians chapter 3. So these things, these encouragements, these admonitions as well, are to see to it. And here's the great, let's read Galatians 3 first, and then we'll see what God is working with us. The Galatian church, as you know, are being rebuked by the Apostle Paul. They began in the Spirit, and now they're trying to perfect themselves in the flesh. They've given themselves over to Judaism, legalism. So Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" It's a rhetorical question. Who's deceived you? This thing that you're receiving, this circumcision, this Judaism, hasn't come from God. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? So they had the message, they had the revelation of Christ crucified. So why are they now going back to the law? "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Do you see how the apostles now correcting and encouraging the disciples to go deeper? They received the Spirit how? Through legalism, or through the hearing of faith? We receive the Spirit and all that comes with him and deeper baptismal experiences through faith. In the book of Acts, on a couple of occasions, when the apostles heard that the disciples had been born again, they went to them and they brought them to the next stage, Acts 8 and Acts 19, that is. How? By filling them with the Holy Spirit, by ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit to them. Praise God, and I believe we're going to see that again in this end time. And further experiences, further deeper baptismal experiences within the Spirit. You know, in John 20, Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. So that's what God did to Adam when he breathed in him in his nostrils the breath of life. So with original creation, so now with new creation. That's what that's about. The apostles sent forth to minister new creation by the power of the Spirit. These deeper baptismal experiences. You know, you can labor for years in the word and prayer, and so much will be done. And praise God for that. But I know this in my own experience. Under certain visitations, certain manifestations of the Spirit, certain visitations from on high, things happen in 10 minutes that couldn't happen in 20, 30 years of labouring in the word and prayer. But God has ordained it all. So none of it's wrong. It's all within God's purpose. It's all his provision. That turn, one turn at a time, peeling that onion, one layer at a time, turning that screw, one turn at a time, perfecting within us. And then in seasons, then come the blessings, the visitations, the manifestations, those touches from Almighty God that change, that bring us into a new realm that hadn't been happening for the last 20 years. But what God has been doing, he's preparing us for that touch, so that when we cry out and receive that touch, we're then able to go to the next plateau. Praise God. Let's continue. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? The answer obviously has to be no. How can it be? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? This is the bit that I want to get to. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you, Jesus, who supplies the Spirit, Jesus, and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? These things, as we hear, you know, these miracles, these, the supply of the Spirit, the messages, they come by the hearing of faith, and that is the work that God is doing in our life. The second we try to begin to work these things, or work at these things, or approach it in a legalistic way, we suffer things. We suffer for that. We will pay the price for that. And that chastening will bring us back. What have I been doing? What have I lost? Look at the peace, look at the grace that I have forfeited trying to save myself in my own strength. And so in bringing us to an end of ourselves, you know, friends, the law is doing its work. The law, the Old Testament, has put us to death. The law in our members has brought about death. We've come to an end of ourselves. We have no more strength in ourselves. Death is taking place so that the resurrection can follow. We can't look at the circumstances and get discouraged. The things we are going through, I believe, is a death and resurrection experience. Now, I'm not sort of living in cloud cuckoo land with that. It's a serious situation. Things that we face individually, corporately, no point blaming. But it is a death and resurrection, and it is an exposure. And every single one of us has a motive in the heart that God is exposing. Every single one of us has motive or motives in the heart that God is exposing. And as we bow the knee and let those things go, the resentments about what this walk is costing me, the anger before God, and our problem is always with God. We think it's one another, but ultimately, the object of our sin is always God himself. As we let our anger, as we confess and let the thing go, the resentment about what this walk is costing me, then you're going to find God will provide. The reason he isn't providing is because there's still that covetousness, that anger, that resentment, that greed, that lust, whatever. Paul had lust in Romans 7:7. I did not know lust except the Lord said, thou shalt not covet. And yet in Acts 20, we see him say to the Ephesian elders, I have coveted no man's gold or silver or clothes. In fact, I worked with my hands so that I would not be chargeable. The before and after of when God got hold of that man. But the law exposed. But God gave the grace. The cross, the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit gave grace and removed that thing. Didn't just expose and condemn. He removed it. Great deliverance. And then was able to flow through that man and minister. He gave his life. He gave everything. He owned nothing for himself. He gave it all, same as Jesus did, to serve the body of Christ. Praise God. Glory to God. So it's by the hearing of faith. Now, as this word comes forth under that anointing, as we begin to see these miracles, as we begin to see God at work, praise God, what happens in our spirit? What's going to happen as we see the mighty hand of God? Fear will go. Pride will go, unbelief, doubt, all these things that prevent faith from working, all these things that prevent love from working. Do you know what Satan's biggest weapon is to prevent the fruit of the Spirit operating? Fear. It's that fear, it's that pride, it's that unbelief that prevents that causes us to resist the move of the Holy Spirit. I actually received deliverance years ago, and I wanted that deliverance, and here's the confusion, I didn't see it. The first thing the Lord did, he removed fear of the supernatural from me. Isn't that amazing? I didn't know I had that. Once that went, then I began to get deliverance. I began to experience the Spirit working. And so all that God is doing, getting to our faith, removing the hindrances. Sometimes he tears it out, other times he removes it just gently. Praise God. And so, the Word, the light of full revelation, that anointed Word, the trials that go with that, and then the miracles, the gifts. Not that we stop believing if a gift or a miracle doesn't happen, we still continue to believe. That's not what I'm saying. Because through that Word, God is working endurance. If we had a miracle every time we went through a trial straight away, that would never work endurance within us. So there's that balance. Remember, please, that signs follow believers, and unbelievers follow signs. So I'm not changing the message at this point, but rather completing it in a sense. So you and I, friends, why aren't the miracles happening? And this is where you and I come in. When you and I consecrate our life before God, Lord, what have you got for me? What is my ministry? Lord, I want to experience, I want to move in the gifts. As we consecrate our life to God, especially in prayer, motivating this is, what is my place? What is my calling in the body? Those miracles will start to come through us. Those miracles will start to come through you and I. Praise God. It's that fear, it's that unbelief. And then finally, how else does the apostolic ministry confirm our faith and build a foundation? We said through trials. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Now isn't that the greatest of all miracles? In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That means complete or mature, perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labour, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Look at that. Look at that glory. God's provision is not only through the word, through those miracles, but he raises up ministry to suffer on behalf of the body of Christ. When we go through trials, it doesn't work, doesn't it? But in the assembly, there are some who suffer in that assembly, for that assembly, and it works exactly the same as if you or I were going through that trial. A person suffering on behalf of the body of Christ works the same way as if other members were themselves doing that suffering, because God counts us as one man. Others are consecrated, some are consecrated that others may go free. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And it's in order to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This is why God has given ministry to serve. Verse 28, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now we know it's God doing that, don't we? We know it's the Lord doing that, but through the vessel, through that empty, yielded vessel, the Lord is working to present us perfect, spotless, without blemish, without reproach. So it's incredible, isn't it? The things that are exposed at times, the things that we see, the things that we feel just come to an end, at our wit's end, if we'll stay with this, we have the promise that God will present us perfect. The Holy Spirit will work. He has come, the Holy Spirit has come to apply the redemption that has been purchased for us, to perfect us, to cleanse us, to present us perfect before Almighty God. 2 Corinthians 11 also tells us this. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. I am jealous for you. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's what the ministry's for. And yet look what he says in Jude. I mean, we know it's the Lord doing it, don't we? Isn't it interesting? So much idolatry in the body of Christ, thinking it's the man, thinking it's the gifted man that's doing it. And yet there's no discernment about the message. You see, this is why we're labouring at this, because many have gone astray following signs. We must get that message, the discernment of the message. Then the signs will follow us. Many have gone astray seeking signs. But if we would seek God, not the signs that come from him, but seek God, seek him, and allow him to do whatever he has to in our hearts, put that word there, that simple childlike faith, that fearless faith, signs will follow us then. Praise God. Jude 20, and here's one of the ways we do it. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, the fear of God that is, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. There's that zeal, that godly zeal. Now unto him, speaking of the Lord, who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Praise God. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So you see the balance. Yes, God raises up ministry, there's an anointing, there's a gift, there's a wisdom, a discernment, the way the Holy Spirit works through them, that will prepare, that will bring about a cleansing, a holiness, a purity. But really, we know, don't we, it's God himself that's actually doing it. You know, a word of knowledge will open up something that hasn't been seen. We often think of word of knowledge simply as working with healing, but it can open up the heart. Let's have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in closing. Start with verse 20. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 20 and following. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. He's quoting Isaiah there. Therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Praise God. Revelation. You see how a gift working there opened the door to a person's heart. And it also happened, again in closing, in Acts 28. Acts 28. Gifts. See, gifts will open the door in many ways that can't happen otherwise. We saw there that the gifts convicting a person, the person's heart there opened. Acts 28, praise God. Paul's ministry on Malta. Won't read it all, but there's a shipwreck at sea. They ended up on the beach, warming themselves by the fire, and a serpent. Start with verse 3. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand, bit him. So when the natives saw the creature hanging on his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. I mean, people, right? Oh, glory to God. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him, prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. And they also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. So you see how the gifts of healing, and that miracle there, he didn't die, God preserved him, opened doors of ministry. And he went right to the head, didn't he, the head of the island. And presumably they got saved. And those who oppose the ministry of healing, mentioned somewhere where Paul left, is it Trophimus, I have left on the island sick. In spite of what we've just read, because one person, for some reason, was left, say, without the manifestation of his healing, well, do we also say that some on the island weren't saved? So is it no longer God's will to save? Do you see how illogical those are? Because, well, bless their hearts, they don't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I believe amongst the evangelicals, who at the moment are doing most of the opposing of the charismatic move, when God raises up the full ministry, the apostles, etc., we are going to see that ministry, we're going to see a lot of them receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, certainly during Great Tribulation, that's for sure. So that while they go through that to be purged, but I believe even before that, many are going to receive, because the body has to be completed. At the moment, it's incomplete. It's fractured, it's broken, and God is restoring, God is building. This is why we hold so closely, so vehemently to restoration. God is restoring these things. Gifts open doors to further ministry. Praise God. Now, no, I'm not saying that all the evangelicals will receive. That's not what I said. Many that God has chosen, that God is calling, will receive. Praise God. Through your ministry, not just one apostle, but through the entire body of Christ, the apostolic body of Christ. That means the whole body ministering. We're going to see some great changes taking place in Christendom. Praise God. Now, as well as, you know, during Great Tribulation. Well, praise God, that completes more or less the apostolic. We're going to look next time, God willing, the prophet and the other ministries. But dear friends, the whole purpose of all of this is to encourage you that through these ministries, God is perfecting you for your ministry. And the only way you're going to experience and fulfill your ministry, prayer and witnessing and just you overcoming in your trials as part of body ministry, the only reason, the only way that you'll experience it is by consecrating your life to God, asking Him. And, well, praise God, the Holy Spirit will do that work. It's nothing we can strive at or do legalistically, but our question, that the whole basis, is this something we really want? Is this something we really want to pay the price for, or is it just going to be a few gifted men? Is it just going to be a few spiritual sisters and a few gifted men, or do we all have a part in this? Whatever it would be, just you overcoming, just you attending, you praising, when you fast, when you pray, when you witness, that's all part of it. But it begins with a consecration, a consecrated prayer life. Doors haven't, you say to me, doors haven't opened in my life for years. Get on your knees, consecrate a time, your life, to God, in prayer. The times I've done that, within months, doors have started to open. Friends, we consecrate out of our love for relationship. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes the Spirit works in specific ways, and you just know that there is a specific reason for you spending this time in prayer. And in time, a door will open. So I'm not saying you can force anything, because the Apostle Paul was hindered many times. So I'm not saying try and work anything up. But those who desire, those who want these things that they've been hearing about, it won't come in front of the television hoping that God will use somebody else. That's not how it works. I'm saying those who believe that there's a calling on their life, those who want to experience, those who want to go deeper, this is how the Lord does it. Those who want more from the pastor or myself, that will come as you pray for us. Do you see what I mean? All I'm trying to encourage is that whatever is missing now in the body of Christ, it begins with saints consecrating their lives in prayer to God. and it is a work of the Spirit. But if it's something we want, we will let the Holy Spirit do it. If it's something we don't want, then please don't complain anymore. It's not happening because you don't want it. So please don't blame brother or sister. That's all I'm saying. You can't have it both ways, is what I'm trying to say. But I believe the very fact that you're staying with us, you're enduring, you've sat through this message, tells me you do want it. It is something that God is putting in your heart as a desire. Be encouraged, brethren. It's on its way. The Lord is revealing it because he's restoring it. And in time, as we stay with it, on our knees bowed before God, we will see the manifestation of it. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. There's a lot there, isn't there? Prayer is the key to this. A consecrated prayer life. Something that the Holy Spirit does. Remember Galatians? We're not going to do it through legalism, through law, through trying to work something up in the flesh. But as we hear this in faith, as we allow the Spirit to touch our heart and quicken that faith will produce the works. That faith will open the door of our hearts to the supply of the Holy Spirit. And it's that anointing, it's the Holy Spirit provided to us, anointed, quickened to us, that will produce the works and the fruit. Praise God. God bless you, brethren. My heart goes out to those in Cyberland. You know, I wish it was all like a human contact, a fellowship, a real fellowship. Micah 7 speaks of the Lord, you know, shepherding the flock that finds themselves solitary. But I trust that one day, praise God, if not here, then certainly in the air, praise God, we will meet face to face and we will experience those touches from Almighty God. My heart does go out to you. It must be awful out on your own. But I trust the Lord that he will provide in the meantime. God bless you, brethren. It's been a real pleasure, a delight, privilege ministering, serving, and sharing with you. And until next time, same time, UK, Tuesday 7:30 and Sunday 10:30 UK time. It'll be a great privilege to fellowship with you then. The blood of Jesus preserve and keep. And the Holy Spirit, I pray, grant you a deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, brethren.